When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I would like to welcome you to another episode of the Quick Cast, powered by Black Married and Debt Free. Thank you for our new listeners. This is the midweek dose of the podcast where me, one half of Black Married and Debt Free, come on and talk about whatever I'm feeling, whatever's going on in pop culture, the economy is where we usually land, relationships, whatever. I just get to kind of talk my talk, you know. The main episode comes on every Monday morning, Sunday evening. That's with my wife Shira and myself. We're just a couple of people, a couple of millennials pushing 40, that one day decided, hey, we're sick of consumer debt, we're sick of debt in general. And we went on a journey to pay off all of our debts down to zero. We were able to accomplish that in 2017. Immediately following that, we started investing 35% of our income into the stock market using our 401ks and using Roth IRAs as those vehicles. And we also invested in real estate out of state. In 2018, we bought two properties in North Carolina. We live in California, but we used a home equity line of credit on our paid off primary residence to invest in real estate out of state. Two properties in 2018, North Carolina. And then we circled back and we bought three more properties in Alabama in 2021. What is our outlook on real estate investing today? Well, we're going to talk about it. We have a question from one of our listeners, and it really sparked me to do some digging. For me personally, and for Shira as well, if you've been following us, you know that we have paused in the acquisitions department, I guess you can say, when it comes to real estate investing. We're still investors because we still have our five properties. We're paying them down with the mortgage, with the rent we're receiving for those properties. We're paying a mortgage down. We're also just kind of stacking money with the cash flow that we're getting from those properties. You know, that's pretty much been our goal. And then we've been hyper focused on investing in the stock market with our W-2 income. We sat down a few weeks ago and said, hey, you know, where are we with real estate investing? The original plan for our investing portfolio was to keep acquiring. And in 2022-23, you know, the interest rates started going up because the Fed started using that as a means to slow down inflation. And it was my projection that we would see interest rates in the double digits. Far cry from when we were buying homes. I think the highest rate we bought on a home was 5.5, and the lowest rate we have for a home was 2.7. So we really saw great interest rates. And the interest is so important when buying a home, but specifically when investing in the way we invested, right? We were buy and hold investors, where we would buy a property by using a loan, a 30-year fixed loan, and we would try to get a home that would yield more rent than it costs for us to pay the mortgage. That's the goal. And the lower interest rates really helped to keep the monthly payment low so that we would have some cash flow. We've spoken about this before, but I guess I'll do a bit of a review. The 1% rule is a kind of a rule of thumb to let you know if this is a good investment. If I can buy a $200,000 house and I can get $2,000 in rent, that meets the 1% rule. And that's at the time when we were investing, that was looked at as a measuring stick. All right, if I could at least get this, this is something that I can pursue further. If I can get more than that, if I could get $2,200 in rent on a $200,000 home, that's even better. Well, you know, I follow some different real estate investors, and, you know, the 1% is kind of a thing of the past, right? Now you're lucky if you can see those kind of returns. So for us, the higher the interest rate went, the less opportunity we saw in real estate. And so that's kind of where we've been. We sat down a few weeks ago and we said, well, what are we going to do with the cash flow that we're getting from real estate? Because we do cash flow every month. Are we going to pay some homes off sooner? Do we, you know, stack to reinvest in real estate? It's not looking likely that we'll do that in the very near future. So we said, well, do we put some of the money in the market? Do we make this money work for us? Because right now it's just kind of building up. And so we're considering doing that for like things like kids' college and other things that are going to come down the line. It might be a good use of the cash flow reserves from real estate to maybe put them in some type of brokerage account and, you know, make some money in the market. So that's probably where we'll go. So the question I got was, let me pull it up here so I could tell you specifically, and then we'll go over some numbers. So shout out to Dennis. Dennis writes, real estate investing, and he emailed us. Feel free to email us any questions you guys have. blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. Or you can leave a question in the comment section wherever you listen to the podcast, either on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Those are all places where we will get those messages. But Dennis says, real estate investing, please help to get started. Your opinion. My opinion for sure, let's say if you really want to get into real estate investing, still to this day, the easiest way to do it, there's two ways. The easiest way to do it in the current market is through house hacking. House hacking is always going to be, if I could do it over again, if I were a single individual investing in the stock market, I would use house hacking. That's where you buy a primary residence for yourself. Okay. This could be a duplex. Shout out to my boy, Brian. Brian, what's up? If you're listening, a good friend of mine purchased a duplex and he lives in one side and he rents out the other side. Now his rent that he receives from the other unit, he uses to pay his side down. So he's essentially living for very little or for free in some cases, right? If you have a 3-bed on one side and a 2-bed you're living in, you're obviously going to be able to rent the 3-bed out for a higher amount. And shoot, you might be able to even cash flow in that case. I'm not sure, but that's one way to do it. You could also use a single family home, right? If you're a single person living in a 3-bedroom house, you can rent out 2 rooms, right? 2 rooms, parking per room, you know, maybe even, you know, street parking or parking on the driveway, right? That could be a part of it. Access to the kitchen. different things like that, access to a bathroom, you know, different things like that. You can package a lease and lease out your bedrooms individually. Shout out to Todd Baldwin. He was a guest on our show, millionaire in his 20s through house hacking, buying a house and piecing up each room, sharing the common area, as they call it, like the living rooms, the bathrooms, the kitchens. Everyone shares that area, but everyone rents out individual rooms. And he was able to become a millionaire in his 20s by doing that. That is a cool way because it's a low barrier to entry, right? You need to live somewhere. So buy a 3-bedroom, live in one, rent out the other two. Buy a 3-bedroom, live in the garage, right? He had a Todd had a situation where he built out his garage, or maybe there's a granny flat or a pool house, you know, in the backyard that you can live in and then rent out your rooms. That's a good way to get started. And you're immediately in real estate investor. Then when you get to the point where you outgrow that space or you're making enough by renting out the rooms, you go buy your next primary residence. And a cool thing about that, let me pause there, is doing that, you can get an FHA loan because you'll be living on the property. FHA loans usually have lower down payments. If you're buying a house that you're not going to live in as an investment property, you will not qualify for an FHA loan. You'll have to use a conventional loan, which costs, has a higher initial down payment. All right. So yeah, when you outgrow that, let's say you're living in the garage and you're renting out the rooms, you're like, man, I want to get another house. You can go get another house. And now that first house is your one investment property. That's how I would do it if I were starting over today, because it's just a lower barrier to entry. And I feel like you can maximize a building by piecing it up in homes, especially in a state or a city that has expensive rent. That would be somewhat of a discounted living situation for a lot of people, right? We live in a very expensive city to rent. And if I could get if I'm a bachelor and I just want a roof over my head, I'm renting out somebody's room that has a pretty nice house and a nice neighborhood. I can rent out a room for a fraction of the cost of renting an apartment. You see what I'm saying? I'm eating out every night anyway. So you could be on the other end of that, something like that. So that's how I would do it. That's one way I would start, Dennis. Another way would be some type of collaboration, right? If you didn't want to house hack, you don't feel comfortable living with somebody, and you just want a separate investment property, in this day, I think partnering with a close relative, close friend, or spouse. I'm a real estate investor because I have a wife who wanted to be a real estate investor. Could I have done it by myself? Not to this capacity, right? So we're business partners, me and Shira. Yes, we're married, but that's a whole separate thing. If the marriage, God forbid, were to dissolve, we would still have to either piece it up on the business side or figure that out, right? That's a whole separate thing. But I think that is a way to do it, sharing the costs with a partner. You want to make sure you got your paperwork and your contracts and everything together beforehand, because when you're partnering in business, like anything else, it can get messy if there's some type of split or whatever. But I think that's the way to do it. I mean, let's take a look. Those would be the two ways that I would get into real estate investing today. From all I'm seeing online, it's just not a great time. It's just not a great time right now. Let's see. As of today, per Yahoo Finance, mortgage rates today, April 18th, crossed 7%. Now, this is why this is wild, is because the projections for this year were that they were going to be descending. They're going to be going down. The Fed were going to be making rate cuts. this year to kind of get us back into the sixes, five, sixes, and fours, right? Or six, fives, and fours. We're now ascending, going up, and we're in the sevens. It says mortgage rates ticked up this week, topping 7% for the first time this year, and a discouraging trend amongst spring home buying season. A huge indicator of when mortgage rates will go down is when the Federal Reserve lowers the federal funds rate. Although the Fed's rate doesn't directly impact mortgage rates, it is a sign of how the U.S. economy is performing, and mortgage rates tend to follow suit. I've never heard it put quite like that. I've always heard that it's just like they're closely related. Like, don't let that little blurb fool you. The Fed has they're the puppet master. Let's just put it like that. The Fed is waiting to drop its rate. It's waiting to drop its rates until inflation is closer to the central bank's target of 2%. But going by the latest CPI report, let's just say things aren't looking too good for mortgage rates. So there we have it, man. I mean, look, am I going to come on here because I hate it when people did this becoming very passionate about real estate? I in no way want to discourage people from getting into real estate, because I think it is one of the most amazing things I've ever been able to do. It's powerful for our community to own land, to own real estate, because we were historically held back from doing this. And so it's powerful. It's very empowering. It's very rewarding. But at the end of the day, we're in this thing to make money, right? We're in this thing to retire early. We're in this thing for financial freedom. We're in this thing to complete the goal, to complete the assignment, not collect vanity metrics along the way, right? I have a house. I can post this on socials and blah, blah, blah. That is for the birds. You want to make money. And you want to find the best use for your investment capital. And right now, is the best use for the capital for us is not in real estate. It's not in acquiring real estate. 70% of Americans are staying in their homes because they were able to buy either their primary or what have you, when the interest rates were in the twos. So, you know, it's all about timing. And right now, it's not great timing. That's not to say that the institution of real estate investing is bad. It's just that the timing might not be great. Now, with that said, you're always able to find something. And using the first two strategies of house hacking or partnering with your spouse, close family, relative, or group, you know, those may be better options. And so those are just a couple of my thoughts and opinions on the current state of real estate investing. Now, some people may have different strategies. There's still the wholesaling strategy. There's still house flipping and all that, but those are strategies that I don't do, so I'm not extremely well versed in how the market is for those currently. So you might want to, you know, do your own research on that. But there's other ways to invest. I hear a lot of like foreclosures. Get you a foreclosure, go to the auction, and all these things sound amazing in principle, and there are people who are doing them, but like many other things, it's often easier said than done to just go get a house. Man, get you a house in Detroit for $2 and, you know, go, just put some money into it, flip it, and man, get your money. Like, bro, if it was that easy, drug dealers would do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it were that simple to do, a lot of things sound easy conceptually, Okay, that makes sense. But doing them, the logistics, the act of doing said thing is oftentimes a lot more difficult than it sounds to explain or to comprehend. So I hope that helps. Again, y'all, let us know, man, if you got any questions on anything finance or anything you just want to ask Shira or myself, feel free to email us at gmail.com, our Gmail email, which is blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. Y'all, that's all I got for today's episode. So until next time, I'm out. Peace.